You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
My mustache tastes like glue. It's unpleasant. These are always unpleasant. Jessica, I see you making a face, and I don't blame you. I haven't seen a lot of costumes from you. You had a golden year, I feel like, a golden grid of death year where you didn't have to endure a whole lot of punishments.
I only lost once, and Willow only lost once, but yeah. That's my fault. I'll just dress up.
Well, it's all your fault. Everything has been blamed on you, and I need to apologize not just today for that, but on behalf of all of Metal Arc Media, I need to apologize
for
to you.
Hiring Jess.
Not for hiring Jess, for not building a company that is strong enough to support the entertainment in her every sneeze. Because I believe Jessica, the video is rarely ready when Jessica often sends unleashed the most confident of big sneezes you will find anywhere in our environment. None of us here have an aggressively proud sneeze like this that interrupts everything that we're doing here. And we haven't done enough as a production company. Yeti's tried. Yeti made a song. He has tried to build up your personality sneeze by sneeze.
Thank you. I won't do what you tell me. Thank you. I won't do what you tell me. Thank you. I won't do what you tell me. Thank you. I won't do what you tell me. Thank you. I won't do what you tell me. Thank you. I won't do what you tell me. Thank you. I won't do what you tell me. Thank you. I won't do what you tell me. Thank you. I won't do what you tell me. Thank you. I won't do what you tell me. Thank you. I won't do what you tell me. Thank you. I won't do what you tell me. Thank you. I won't do what you tell me. Thank you. I won't do what you tell me. Thank you. I won't do what you tell me. Thank you. I won't do what you tell me.
It's my bad for not holding my sneezes, though. So I'll take the blame.
Okay, more blame for you. It is all your fault. Billy, is the tournament? The tournament has been resurrected. I can feel it. So we're not going to give her the credit for that, just the blame for the last couple of days.
Yes, sure. I got confused by that question. Anyway, here's our number three seed in songs, Dan, and it's dedicated to you. It's a song about how sometimes your descriptions of things go on a little bit long.
Bit of a yammer.
And doing the best he can, but when it's time for 3 feet and no one understands why, like Dan the Rambling Man.
You're rummaging around in my insecurities today, Billy. I don't like this mirror of I've laughed with and at Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman for how those shows distorted the way they talk in real life, and the same thing has happened to me.
Well, I know what'll pick you up. The 14 seed that's going up against. Remember, there's a Greg Cody region, but sometimes Greg's greatness bleeds into other categories. So here's number 14, Datterday.
It's turned too late. shovel strikes. You can prove your love to me by giving greener grass, and you better not complain or I will kick your ass. Oh, ain't got no time for your abnegation. No substitution when two friends. Oh, dad, our day will be so exciting. Get some fertilizing in. I'll tell you where to spray the herbicide.
Billy, you, your face when you hear and think of Dadder Day, the mischief and the joy it brings you to think of how awful Greg Cody is in insisting on Dadder Days, where Christopher just comes over and does it.
That's not unreasonable.
Where, so Chris's job as an adult is to come over and do gardening
to
for his father?
To help his father on, you know, laborious chores that maybe his body can't handle as much anymore.
Which I have. I've helped him a lot. It's just the whole expecting it. And let me remind you. March Sadness is brought to you by Get Your Guide. Yeah. Discover over 100,000 unforgettable travel experiences in the U.S. and around the world at getyourguide.com.
See, Jeremy's good, but he can't do what Yeti can do there.
That was Andrew Streeter.
Okay. Oh.
Andrew Streeter also. We've got a handful of musical hustlers, and I don't know who's better between Streeter and Yeti. They both bring a great deal of energy. I think that's a push.
Everybody should do a
wins.
Twitter poll. I'm sure they'll love that.
Yes, go ahead and do that at Levitar Show. Who's
if
better?
If Yeti wins, he gets Chris's job.
Oh, wait, what? Whoa!
If Streeter wins, he gets my job.
And if it's a tie, Roy quits.
Roy, how did you feel about Dadder Day as a song?
It was a good song. I appreciate that song as a dad. Yeah, and it was a good song. It was excellent.
Okay. What else we got here, Billy?
All right. Now headed over to the Greg Cody region featuring Greg Cody. The number four seed, Dan, is the birth of what's become one of Greg Cody's catchphrases. Here is the first time we were introduced to And You Know It.
Not close to that.
Had Tua stayed healthy, that prediction would have come true.
Okay.
And You Know It. And You Know It.
I don't know it, right. And I don't know why you
and
think...
And you know it. And you know it.
And you know it.
Get that shirt on the GregCodyShow.com.
Right. Think anything. And you know it.
Mm-hmm. What? There's no comeback.
Yeah, and you know it.
You're at a loss for words,
yeah,
Dan.
I have to.
And you know it.
And you know it. And that, you do.
That's not...
You know it.
Who
God knows it.
And you know it.
And you know it. A healthy tour... And the Dolphins are having a parade down Biscayne Boulevard. Elbowing
and,
the heat.
You know, and you know it.
And you know it.
I'll finish it that way, Greg.
Pants next. That's good sports talk. Just and you know it. And you know it.
What, pants?
What's your opinion? And you know it.
I think he predicted the Dolphins would win the Super Bowl and you tease pants.
Pants. Joy pants?
What's that going up against?
That's going up against the number 13 seed Greg Cody and his Back in My Day on Adultery. From Las Vegas.
Vegas! I'm going to say it point blank. The old Vegas was better.
Oh, oh,
this used to be an exotic destination with a real mystique because it was the only place in America to legally bet on sports. You felt a little naughty coming here. Daring. I preferred the sad Vegas. I don't need the Bellagio dancing fountains or the Sphere with its immersive entertainment. Don't need the Super Bowl or all the sports teams here now. Don't need the gaudy Wynn Casino or an Adele residency at Caesars or a hotel that looks like a Dorito chip or a Venetian gondola ride. I want to ride back to the Vegas of yore. Speaking of marriage, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas used to be true. It was the adulterer's capital. A man could bring his second family here. I never had a problem. That was before smartphones made
what?
Every guy two tables over a potential blackmail photographer. Bring back old sad
yes,
Vegas.
Yes.
Bring back the Copa room at the Sands. Eschew the slots button for the black knob and get rid of smartphones and give me back my privacy. I'm Greg Cody and that's how it was back in my day.
We edited out the part where he ran out of breath and we had to, like, stop him. And this man thinks he could run a six-minute mile.
He can't even do a six-minute back in my day.
The thing that I keep laughing about with your father, Chris, because his delusion continues to birth rewards. He is now lost, though, and is furious. He's lost a pumpkin carve-off. He's lost a Turk-off, and now he's lost a pop-off. Your father is lamenting because he fancies himself somebody who can cook, and he's a careful cook, and all of us would say he's a good cook, but he shouldn't be losing everything to us, and he has been, and yet it's the only losing he's been doing around here because this has been the year of Greg Cody. He has been a star over the last 8 months.
He lost the carve-off, too. Yeah. I won the pumpkin carving.
Has contest. He won anything?
Who won?
He thinks that he can run a six-minute mile, and it is an unusual delusion for him to have because, as Jessica correctly points out, there's no one on this show who can run a six-minute mile.
So we did the math, and if you go up to the treadmill right now at the gym at the Elser, you would have to put the treadmill at a speed of 10 and do that for six straight minutes without getting flown off.
I do that at Barry's boot camp for like 2 or 3 minutes, and it's so hard. Like, no one here can do that.
Billy,
Taylor thinks he can.
Billy, why are you shaking your head?
Just because you made it seem like it was really complicated math that was done to figure out.
Yeah, right.
That
it tells you the miles per hour. Yeah, exactly. Like the 10 is miles.
So
per
you
hour.
Are you are down on Tony being enthusiastic about giving.
I'm
us
never. Some... I mean, I'm trying to support Tony. He's got an ongoing investigation going on here.
Are hopefully you? We get I'm to just the giving the facts, yeah. people. I'm not investigating. I'm just giving you what the facts are.
Are there any updates there? Are
no
there
updates
any
yet.
Otani updates?
I do have a Stanton update. Stanton thin? Question mark. Off roids? Question mark.
Whoa!
Whoa!
Hit the button.
Investigate
the button.
Not investigation.
Where's
I said.
Reckless speculation.
Time to throw away all journalistic credibility and get reckless. Here is something we like to call reckless speculation.
So nice we played it twice. So nice we played it twice. But you know he's thin now. Dan, you know what? I'm gonna promise you something, Dan. Just like hockey, I'm gonna lock in.
Oh God.
On baseball, I'm gonna lock in. 2-1.
I need more information on what could be the biggest scandal we've ever seen or just gambling's normal now.
We're still trying to figure out who stole the money. Because if it wasn't the interpreter, it might have been somebody else.
I honestly think that this is on Otani's team. Yeah. From what we know so far. Because it seems like he helped his friend. He paid whether he knew it was illegal or not. He did that. And then Otani's people started freaking out. And they're like, we need to act like he has no information here. Where I think this would be a lesser story if he just comes out like, look, I didn't know. I got confused with legalities. I tried to help my friend. Now I understand. This won't happen again. Like, I feel like that would be a better like way to go about it than just being like the complete opposite of that ESPN story. Like, what do you mean? He had no clue.
Does he have Kate Middleton's PR people?
Where is she, Dan?
What's going on
Where
with
is
this?
She, Dan? What,
why am I still only seeing TMZ stuff from a distance and they're saying, look, there she is with her bags.
Body double. I mean,
it would be the easiest thing in the world to just release a photograph. Like, what are they doing?
Well, they did that, but it was Photoshopped, so then they had to put out a... But I don't know. All I can say is that they said she'll be back in the public after Easter.
Yeah.
And this is the most excited I think I've been for Easter.
Yeah.
Probably my whole life.
Really?
And are there any sleuths getting to the bottom of what's been happening?
Tony's on
we
it.
We are. There's a body double that was a fake video of her walking out of some Erewhon or something.
That's not getting
Everyone
to the bottom
Everyone on the
of
internet
anything.
Is a sleuth when it comes to Kate Middleton, Dan. It's getting a little weird.
Where is she? That's the question we need to be
it's
asking.
It's a pretty answer. It's easy to answer, is it not?
It's what everyone's asking.
That's what I'm saying.
Probably home recovering from surgery.
What surgery? Know. How? Where?
You're the investigator, Tony!
I'm just asking the questions.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Don Lebatard.
Is it Tuesday?
Yeah.
Is this going to run on Tuesday? It better. Why would you not interview me and then not run it on the same day? Mm-hmm. That's stupid.
Yep. Nonsensical. You're right.
Stugatz.
Why are you leaving?
Why am I even doing this interview? I should be like on a live program. What the f***? You tricked me. You, Dan Lebatard.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
We're bringing in Mina with the thunder? You're bringing in Mina with the thunder? She's galloping into the proceedings with opinions on football and Ohtani, and you're bringing in it. We're bringing her in with the thunder music.
Dan,
hi.
And Thursday Thunder is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Juju's been doing these very well. What do we have? Tony, is this you going to do it?
No, this is via Juju, but I will be providing the color for the Thursday Thunder today. We are going not a super late night game tonight. It's a 9 o'clock start between the Nuggets and the Knicks, and we've got a nice little three-way player prop parlay for Thursday Thunder, starting off with the Joker himself, Nikola Jokic, over 25.5 points.
We always take the overs with him. You're afraid to take anything but the overs with him.
All he does is go over, Dano. Second, we're going to your favorite foreign player, Dante DiVincenzo, over 15.5 points. And the last leg of our three-way is Isaiah Hartenstein, over 8 points.
Hell yeah.
So that's Jokic over 25.5, DiVincenzo over 15.5, and Isaiah Hartenstein over 8.
And if it doesn't hit, my bad.
Yeah. I didn't want to say it, but yeah.
Mina, thank you for coming on with us. We've got all sorts of football things to discuss with you. My mustache is falling apart. The most interesting parts of everything happening with Ohtani this morning are what for you?
Probably the cognitive dissonance required for me to come in on the tail of a gambling greed, which is, I realize I'm throwing stones here from a parlay built castle or whatever we're doing here at ASU, but it's there certainly is.
You better get your lingo right, lady. The gambling money is already here, and the media is a little slow to react to the gambling money's already here.
Yeah, I don't know if it's. I think that's what I find most interesting, right? Not to be navel gazing about it, but this is a massive story that we are all covering, and we are all, of course, working with these companies now deeply. I think there's the question of whether that's hypocritical, I think, is a nuanced one. I don't think it's quite as simple as like, hey, we all take gambling money and we're talking about a player breaking gambling rules, because there's differences, right? There's rules about who's allowed to bet and what that means. And it's not necessarily hypocritical, but it definitely does require some cognitive dissonance. No question about it.
Can you help me? I've had some trouble navigating this morning. Some of the things that I've known about baseball past Ichiro coming over and whatever modern culture is, where the exchange between Japan and the United States on superstars has been a wonderful bridge to watch traversed over the last 25 years. Can you explain to me, just generally, what you think it is to be Ohtani in the middle of baseball in the United States?
Well, I think that the culture aspect of this, too, it's not really what comes to mind when I perceive this betting story, because I think you could easily replace Shohei Ohtani with any other Aaron Judge or whatever, and replace interpreter with close personal assistant, and the same dynamics would be at play, which is all of these people asking questions about the timeline, the ascription of blame. This is all going to be worked out, I think, with obviously the criminal investigation side of it. I think where it is relevant, though, is just the sheer degree of fame we're talking about when we talk about Shohei Ohtani. He is, you know, the biggest player in baseball, but in Japan, he's
the biggest everything, right? And I think that's what makes, I mean, the scope of this is already so massive because, God, this timing could not be any worse for the league, not just given the nature of the scandal, the size of Ohtani's contract, the fact that he is who he is, but also that they were supposed, this was supposed to be a celebration of baseball in Asia right now with them playing these games in Korea. And to have it marred by this, to have him unavailable for interviews is just unbelievably devastating for the league. But I think for Ohtani, just, you know, recognizing how famous he is in his own country, I don't think, you know, it would be like if LeBron had a scandal of this scope in the U.S.
I don't think, though, that people can understand necessarily the icon status that he has, because I think we're more respectful of LeBron's space as the media than what Ohtani lives daily in terms of people just following him around and just wide swaths of area cut out for him in a way that makes him, to me, feel more famous there than LeBron is even here.
It would be like, Dan, sorry Mina to cut you off. No, it would be like if the biggest basketball star in the United States had a gambling problem and then he decided to retire and then everyone created a conspiracy theory that it was because of his gambling problem and the commissioner actually made him retire and then he came back but the rumors haunted him for the rest of his life.
I think that the size of our country and the number of, this is very funny, by the way, the number of celebrities is, it has kind of a diluting effect, Dan. Like, weirdly, my mind goes to Kate Middleton in the UK, which is the level of, you're talking about press and scrutiny and a level that is that's not matched in the US when we talk about our athletes there. And I think about, I'm not saying Kate Middleton is Ohtani or whatnot, but when you're talking about a smaller country with fewer celebrities of that scale, naturally it all gets kind of concentrated, right? And as famous as LeBron is, as important as he is to millions, hundreds of millions of people in a huge swath of America, there's just so many famous people in America. There are so many famous athletes that everything kind of is perceived a little bit differently.
Do you have any idea what happened with that interview? Because I was surprised at how that got botched. Like, I don't understand how cartoonish everything else was after the report came out.
For a second, I thought you were talking about Kate Middleton, and my mind just got really scrambled.
Well,
there.
That one too. Where is she? Do you have any good theories?
I think she's always been around. I don't know. I haven't gone super deep down that rabbit hole.
She's always been around is just as lame as you could possibly have said.
What does that even
like
mean?
Like Mother Earth? Like what's
she's
that? What's
she's always been around? Like what is that as an opinion?
I don't think she's like missing altogether. I think she just doesn't want to be in the public eye for whatever reason. That is subject to speculation. I don't know, Dan. It would be honestly irresponsible of me to speculate on the Ohtani stuff right now.
She said Ohtani did it.
Billy, do you not find fascinating that there's an interview that got botched and then disavowed?
Like, said it up, which is like the weird thing, because you'd think that everyone would be kind of on the same page of this is how this interview should go. And then it seemed like maybe they were. And as it was going on, they realized, oh, no, none of that's actually allowed either. We need to completely clean this up.
And maybe that is where the cultural stuff does matter here, because it feels like with Ohtani, there's always been his team, his people, his apparatus, and then there's the team. And the Angels protected him to some degree, right? Because they're a team that people didn't care about as much. They're not in the heart of Los Angeles. They had less eyes on them than the Dodgers. I'm not saying this wouldn't be as big of a scandal if it was with the Angels. It would be as big of a scandal right now. But it has felt like throughout his career in baseball, the team sort of let him run his own show with his people and do as little press as he wanted. And perhaps the fact that this has been so bungled, and I think undeniably, regardless of what the truth is, it has been bungled. The rollout of their story has been bungled. Maybe that reflects the fact that this is something of an education for or a little bit of a reality check, because he and his team have been, they seem to be so unprepared for what is happening right now.
Why are you smiling, Jessica? What is it that you and Tony are doing back there?
It's wait, just everything no. has been, yeah. wait, no. Like we
also,
had,
where's Kate?
Worst case, that's a separate investigation. Also, Stanton, a separate investigation. But when you have the Mizuhara situation, right, and then he has the ESPN interview up here, and then it's like, wait, no, we can't say any of that.
No interview.
Wait,
that's
no.
That's right. Interview, no interview. Wait, now disavow. No.
Disavow up
wait,
here.
The wait, no, is it got all of our attention right. more than the gambling
right
allegation.
Here. Wait, no.
What do you mean, wait, no, disavowed interview?
Disavowed
what?
Interview, wait,
what?
No.
What, now massive theft?
Massive theft.
Wait, wait a minute.
Massive theft. Who? We don't know who.
Who?
Somebody.
Who won?
Also, before Jess was talking about Michael Jordan. And you're putting your mustache on backwards, which is why it's not sticking.
Yes, I mean, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Billy.
The glue's on the wrong
side. It did
side.
Happen to a pretty big American. I mean, you keep saying, like, what if LeBron James? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I wasn't alive back then, though, so tell
Jessica,
me what it was like.
Jessica, I'm having a hard time. I really am.
With the mustache, yeah. With
that, too. But I would say, I don't know how to measure this, I would say by leaps and bounds, Ohtani means something to Japan that LeBron does not mean to America. Like, just in terms of fame, I don't know how
LeBron couldn't be more famous here.
I know, in terms of feeling like he represents everybody in a way that everyone can be proud of, the companies, the greatness, everything. Like, I don't think Ohtani's polarizing in any way. There's no infamy involved. It's just positive fame.
As a country, are we proud of anyone, though? Like, honestly, outside of the Olympics, is there anyone that we claim, like, wow, that's America?
Pitbull.
Checkmate.
I don't know if Ohtani is flawless, but he represents publicly that way. It's not just greatness, it's also flawless.
Well, that's what's so interesting about this, right? Like, this is the first time I think something negative has really stuck with him. But I would argue that he's kind of a blank canvas for, like, because And this is where I do think the culture has, because he doesn't do a lot of interviews. We don't know a lot about him. Everybody was shocked and delighted to see his dog. And then, you know, we couldn't hear the name of the dog. It was like a big mystery. The most I've learned about him was a few days, like in the last couple of weeks, when we found out his wife was apparently like a very skilled basketball player, which was like, oh my gosh, like an actual like interesting kernel of information about Shohei Ohtani. We learned something cool about him. Now, for this to come, it's not just like a scandal hitting a player who we already know a lot of his biography, who's had ups and downs. This is a player where we really don't know a lot about him here in the U.S. And I feel like this threatens now to overtake a lot of that, because there wasn't a lot of information out there to begin with.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Don Levitard.
Are you back on the caffeine? Are you back on the Red Bull?
Something's wrong. Yeah.
Something's wrong.
I mean, it's unbelievable how manic he is, and he keeps, you know, chewing on his bottom teeth in a way that's scaring me a little bit.
Stugatz.
I've been up since 5:30 a.m. producing content, and in terms of being able to be on, my body needs a little boost. And that's why I turned to cocaine. Caffeine.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Mike Ryan is mourning right now. He texted us earlier, huge Miami news coming up here in a little bit. And then you guys took bets on, will this be huge news or only news that Mike Ryan thinks is huge that'll make the rest of you yawn? And Katie Meyer has stepped down as the University of Miami women's basketball coach, a bit of an icon locally, 20 years. And that shakes the program, because she was stability, and they made as deep a run as the school has ever made a couple of years ago. And they were trying to build off some of that. They spent money. They got denied a number one or they got denied an NCAA tournament this year and ended up not being in the, what is it called? The WBIT now. So they declined to be a number number one, and that's how her career ends. She's retiring, not going anywhere else, but one of the pioneers in this sport, and that shakes an athletic program that department, and all the departments know that they need football to be successful. That's how it works throughout all of athletics. But Katie Meyer built something that had a following and has a following in South Florida. So congratulations to her. Mina, before we get into the football of the week, can you explain to me what changed here with all of these 1 year and 2 year contracts, where all of a sudden everything I'm reading is more short term on just about everyone than I had seen before this year?
You mean in football? Yeah, in free agency. It's interesting because you can't really make a blanket statement about whether it's better for the teams or the players, because the reality is for some of the players, it is better to be on short-term contracts. I think of like Danielle Hunter signing a two-year, $49 million contract with $48 million guaranteed, which is not a structure I've ever seen before. That's one where I think it is good for both the team and the player. The timeline of the team, the Houston Texans, who signed him, they want to compete now. They do not want to be in the Danielle Hunter business for the long term. But for Hunter, who is over 30 now, I believe, or 29 maybe, that'll give him another crack at the apple. So for him, that's great. For a running back Derrick Henry or Aaron Jones, not so great, because you're really only getting a one-year deal. So it really depends. As far as why it's happening, I think a lot of it has to do with the cap taking a pretty big jump this year. So a lot of teams had more money than they expected. And I think because of that, they realized, okay, we can go out and spend decent amount of money in the short term. Maybe we didn't think we could before.
What did we get most right and wrong in talking about Justin Fields and his value?
Ooh, God, that's such a good question. I think we, and I'm generalizing here, a lot of us in the media overestimated his trade value. I never thought he would get a first round pick, certainly, because statistically he's just been too uneven. The precedent for a player struggling the way he has through the first few years, over the course of his rookie contract in Chicago, and then going on to succeed, is basically non-existent. There's very few examples of that. I guess you could point to like Geno Smith in Seattle. However, I thought he had shown enough in small doses, and that the context was so bad, his surroundings were so bad, that a team would still be tantalized. Because we have seen time and time again, Dan, that in the NFL, teams really overestimate first round picks. Still, I mean, Sam Darnold just got basically $10 million in Minnesota. I don't think he'll be the starter. I think they're going to try to draft a quarterback, but still, and yet, he got barely anything, right? It's a conditional six that can turn into a fourth. So certainly we overestimated how the league perceived him. I don't think we underestimated how much being in a bad situation his first 2 years, I think his situation last year wasn't as bad in terms of the protection, the weapons, the play calling, affected his development. And I think moving forward, that's something meaning the quarterback evaluating community, the NFL, analysts, whatever, have to continue really, really placing an emphasis on, because it does feel like in the NFL, destination often ends up being destiny for these quarterbacks.
I saw you complimenting the Bears for setting up a potential Caleb Williams first overall pick for success. Counterpoint, they're the Bears. Do you factor that all into your analysis when you see them, you know, getting Keenan Allen and some other pieces?
It's kind of the RG3 argument, right? They're the Bears, when he was saying that Caleb Williams should force his way out. Or really, his argument was that they had treated Justin Fields so badly, he should be wary. I feel like with these teams, you can see the fortunes turn so quickly. I think about the Bengals with Joe Burrow, for example. I mean, the Texans, to me, are exhibit A for this, right? Horribly run organization in recent years. They got C.J. Stroud because they failed at tanking. And yet, all it takes is the quarterback, the head coach, and then suddenly their fortunes turned around. I don't see why something similar couldn't happen in Chicago.
Mina, I need to speed all of this up. I'm sorry, because we've got 6 minutes left and we want a ton of information from you. So I need you to speed up and I need us to speed up.
All right.
Tony, let's go.
All right. Mina, obviously, you know I'm a bit of a quarterback visionary, right?
Faster.
faster. Okay. I saw Caleb Williams
Mina
at the pro
knows
day.
This?
Yes. I saw Caleb Williams
faster.
At the pro day. Absolutely incredible. 80-yard bomb. I'm sold on Caleb Williams. I wasn't really sold before.
Faster.
Liked him at USC. But that throw, that one throw was incredible. Talk to me about Caleb Williams' pro day. It's incredible.
Talk to me about Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams, not really sure there's much to take away. The pro day, the question about him isn't his ability to launch bombs. It's whether or not he can play within structure, which I think he can, incidentally.
Why wouldn't the Bears have just held on to two good quarterbacks, wait until the season starts, some quarterback goes down, and then you get way more for Justin Fields?
I think we tend to underestimate the psychological aspect of managing quarterback room. And if you have a quarterback room where a lot of the players do love Justin Fields, the fan base still loves Justin Fields, I think that's not healthy for Caleb Williams to walk into.
Hollywood Brown to the Chiefs.
Really like it. I think, you know, he probably isn't as good as maybe was believed, but in terms of his trade value, his draft status, but he's certainly an upgrade over MVS as a deep threat for a quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, who had the second lowest average depth of target in the NFL last year.
Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze?
I'll probably go Nabers just because of his ability to take the top off of a defense. The explosive yards after the catch are just so tantalizing. But to me, it's really, really close because Odunze, I think, is probably the highest floor of any NFL prospect.
Chris Sims saying that Marvin Harrison is the third best receiver in this draft and getting dragged for it.
Yeah, I like that Chris has his own opinions, but this is one that I'm going to have to disagree with pretty vehemently. He had him behind Brian Thomas, which I really don't understand, out of LSU. Harrison Jr. to me is about as complete as a wide receiver prospect as I've seen.
Mike Williams going to the Jets.
Really good signing for New York. Between Rodgers, Mike Williams, Tyron Smith, if they're all healthy, that's a top-tier offense, but gigantic if, obviously.
Mike Williams picks the Jets over a lot of other suitors because?
I think the money. I mean, I haven't heard about him turning down a deal or an offer for more unless I missed it. And also, you know, it's a one-year deal. So again, you're talking about the short-term deals. If he can finish the season healthy, he has the opportunity to hit the market again.
The answer is they gave him $15 million, Dan. Derrick Henry to the Baltimore Ravens. Does that unlock something in their offense?
No, this is already a dominant rushing attack. I think it could be a little bit better, but it was really, really good even before they added Derrick Henry. I have questions about the Ravens because half their offensive line just walked out the door. I think that's a bigger deal.
Winners and losers in the offseason.
Are you asking me to name the winners?
Winners and losers in the offseason.
So far.
Winners and losers so far. Why does no one want to play for the Patriots?
That's a different question. Answer the first one.
Calvin Ridley, $92 million. Why?
Winner and losers.
I go with the Falcons getting Kirk Cousins. I think that was probably the biggest impact move of the offseason. I have them winning the division now. Losers, everyone's obsessed with the Dallas Cowboys not doing anything, but the Patriots, to me, jump out. Like, we're all focused on the Chicago Bears and whether they've done enough to set up success. Their rookie quarterback. The Patriots are also drafting your rookie quarterback, and that rookie quarterback is walking.
Why does no one want to play for the Patriots?
I don't know if they extended any offers that were rejected. I think the bigger question is, why weren't the Patriots more aggressive in soliciting skill players to put around their rookie quarterback? Not that nobody wants to play there.
OBJ visiting the Dolphins. Don't they have other holes they need to fill?
They have holes, but they don't have a lot of money. So, and I do think wide receiver is actually something that they're going to need to address in the draft.
How many games will Justin Fields start for the Steelers?
I will guess 8.
Vrabel consulting for the Browns.
Good move. Something that they did with Jim Schwartz, by the way, who's a defensive coordinator in Tennessee, so it's kind of a flip-flop. I think this is sort of a stopover for Vrabel, who will probably be a head coach again in the NFL.
Vikings plan on quarterback. Right now they have Sam Darnold. Who is it?
I'm guessing J.J. McCarthy right now because I don't think one of the top three teams is going to trade down.
Best backup quarterback signing.
Pittsburgh Steelers getting Justin Fields, to me, for what they did, although I think he should compete to be the starter.
Best bargain discount in free agency.
Which signing did I like? I mean, the Patriots bringing back Josh Uche for $3 million was the one that really blew me away. Josh Uche, who had like double-digit sacks a year ago. That kind of shocked me that he signed for so little.
Did Christian Wilkins get overpaid?
Probably a little bit, yeah, but he's a really, really good player, so it wasn't like a mammoth overpay. I think it was more confusing because I don't really understand the Raiders and their timeline, but the pay was probably commensurate with who, you know.
Biggest, why did they do this?
The Ridley deal surprised me. Again, with from a timeline, I don't really understand the Titans and how they view themselves. And I felt like because there's so many good receivers in the draft, which we talked about last time, I don't understand why you would pay him that much money.
Is that the move you hated the most?
No, the one I hated the most was the Raiders paying Gardner Minshew what they did. I thought the Raiders should have been in the Justin Fields business. I don't understand. Again, I don't understand the Raiders generally. And for me, like Gardner Minshew did not play very well for Indianapolis last year, despite the fact that they were on the, knocking on the door of the playoffs. It wasn't because of him.
Come on, Mina. Come on.
Gardner Minshew. I mean, I can just give you the one-word answers.
Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny. Follow her on YouTube. She is the best. Thank you, Mina. We will talk to you next week.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.